Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast that makes your story-driven campaigns better. I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve.
And how you doing, Steve? Second episode of season 6. You like that new header there that we had on last episode, but it didn't exist when we recorded last episode.
I do like the design on your new logo and like the overall look of the covers. I like them a lot. But you just reminded me that I've been trying to change the intro for so long, and every time I load up the intro outro and then throw in the episode edits into it, it's literally titled Season 3 Template. So I'm like, it's Season 6. Oh, yeah. I need to fix that. Not that there's anything wrong with the intro, but it's been that way for a while. It's probably due for a change.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. It is challenging. It's not like we have something easy, like one of the podcasts I listen to. They just same music, but they swap out like quotes that are said during it.
Okay.
Yeah. And things haven't exactly stabilized enough that our outro is totally out of date. I mean, it is a little out of date.
True. Yeah, we probably should do at least some changes on it. I still kind of like the sound effect of the outro, because it sounds kind of, I don't know, like infomercially, I guess. Which I kind of like in a weird way.
I mean, I can always record just a new, like, me saying the thing.
True, just
with more current stuff swapped in.
True, yeah. Especially if we migrate over to, what is it, Mastodon?
I mean, yeah, we're on Mastodon. We are RO Imperfection at Dice Camp, dice.camp, because Mastodon is weird.
That is very weird.
So, yeah, I feel bad. I've been, like, just off social media, kind of. Haven't really been doing much on Twitter, aside from looking up depressing D&D news. And,
Yeah. I mean, it happens. That's the thing with social media, is that, like, you hear, like, concentrated versions of, like, all the bad stuff and all the awesome stuff. So you get hyped, and then you get depressed. And that's, like, one of the big problems with social media these days. So,
true.
I mean, it's not bad to take a break from it. Even if it's related to, you know, your hobby that you're doing as a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's allowed me to, you know, I've been alternately revamping my homebrew system, working on Marvel game, and making the wonderful new logo for our podcast. So,
if you haven't seen it, go look at it. I mean, you should probably just look at your phone right now. You're probably listening on your phone, most likely.
Yeah, it's just right you there. Can just hold it up. It's right there. Any feedback is welcome. roimperfection@gmail.com. But yeah. Yeah. What are we even doing today? What are we talking about?
Prompts and player mindset. What does that mean? I mean, I understand what it means. I can see the doc. I understand. I just mean,
what does that mean for the players?
What does that mean? Yes.
Well, my intention was, because I've been thinking about it a lot, right? I've been planning games. I've been, trying to arrange stuff. I had an idea for another, like, I'm really trying to focus on keeping it a one shot in my mind, but yeah. See, last episode for me talking about me and miniseries, let's just say they're more like maxi series. So yeah.
I mean, you did a successful one shot before.
I've done several successful one shot. I've done several Mastercard ones that are sort of connected, but they were still one shots. And I've done the Marvel one. That I'm planning on doing a pseudo follow-up to. So, yeah. But they're still one-shots. They're planned as one-shot. I have been thinking about kind of what people are given. Okay, I'm going to take them back. I've been thinking about how players react to prompts that you give them before or as a game is starting. So, like, the most recent one I did would be kids on bikes, and I think I could have been a little bit more controlling, I guess. Not quite controlling, but like could have been a bit sterner with what I wanted. I actually think that one went pretty well. People, you know, I sat down with you and Monster. We watched some Stephen King movies. That was good. I think we have a workable crew. It got a little bit more iffy with the last Silent Spiral game because I felt like I got a little bit more of a diverse group, and I kind of had to bring everyone, like really try to bring everyone together, you know, because I had basically there where we sat down and watched the movies. I gave everyone an individual movie like I did for the first Silent Spiral, and people did decide on a theme. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, but I feel like they were almost too similar in this case. We got very Treasury focused. And so I had a lot of people who were like, I'm not a cop, but I'm sort of working for the cops. And I was like, man, that is a lot of people doing that. So a lot of the backstories got a little convoluted and got a little too crunched together in a lot of ways. And I feel like that's affecting the way things are now, because people's backstories were so similar that I've kind of had to make up a lot of ancillary stuff, and that's gotten kind of convoluted. So that's kind of the snowball effect of how, like, okay, I was doing really good, and then things got a little messy, you know? And I know you've had issues with this too.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to pin, because like for Silent Spiral, like the first group that we had, like even though we were all very different, we like somehow jived really easily, and we like fit together as a group. I mean, sort of.
No, you guys did.
We weren't like completely trusting of each other from start to finish, but like we were able to like get together, and it wasn't difficult for you, I feel. Whereas in Silent Spiral 2, it was a little bit more,
a little bit more challenging. Yeah. I feel like, and I've talked about this before, I feel like Silent Spiral 1 had the perfect level of friction. The characters, which I went about, actually, even I did even less. I just gave everyone a movie. I was like, here's how it's going to go. Here's a movie for everyone. Let's go. And there, I didn't have the, like, complete, you know, team up. I had the, we're hanging out to get this done. Everyone is pretty cool, but not everyone's comfortable with everything everyone else does. So there is both a good level of teamwork, but also just the right amount of friction.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, man, if you can get it, I'll take that over, like, a well-oiled machine, just teamwork, everyone's like friends group any day for dramatic purposes. But
yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like Power Rangers, very popular, it's a whole, you know, it's a team. Its characters argue all the time if you've ever watched Power Rangers. So I mean, you know, friction is good, but also at the same point, like teamwork needs to, you know, be there sometimes too.
Teamwork does need to happen. You need to have like a balance.
Yes, there needs to be a balance for sure.
So my thought was like, well, we can like talk about prompts, because prompts, and what I mean by prompt is it's the first set of things you give the players that are the first stuff that they know about the game, and they start thinking about the game, right?
So like, so whose often, line is it anyway? Things you shouldn't say at a bar. Go. You mean different prompt.
Are you an angel because you fell from... Ah, oh, damn it. I messed up the pickup. Sorry.
That's... Did it hurt? What? When you fell from heaven? I think that's the line you're going for.
I've been married for a long time. I don't remember.
I don't go to bars and throw lines like that either, but I still remember which one that was.
Anyway.
Different prompt, though.
Yes, different prompt. Usually I find that these will start with like, well, either the GM saying, hey, I'm thinking about running this game, who's in? Which is pretty much how all of mine have started, right? I don't think I've been... The other way usually is, well, I guess there are variations on that, but technically the other way is a player goes, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we did this game? And then they get a GM. That is the other way things tend to happen. Mind you, the starting points for these can be either, you know, the GM saw something, the player saw something that they're like, oh, cool, could we do something like that? So you know, you have something like Silent Spiral where I was like, oh yeah, film noir month, I should run a very more strictly film noir game. Or my games before that where I was like, oh, I love the Victorian era, why don't we do a Victorian era game? people like steampunk, right? Why isn't there any good steampunk? There's good, don't, well, you know what? I will take any email at this point. roimperfection@gmail.com. We've done a steampunk episode. But I don't think I've actually had a player ask me for a game. Have I?
No, I was going to say, I don't think so. Because when you were saying, it's like, oh yeah, you have someone that wants to run a game. And then there's another option. I was like, what option is that? I don't think I've encountered said other option.
yeah, the other option is someone asks.
Yeah.
And, which we kind of did to Trong.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true.
But yeah, they can be inspired by something like that. They can be inspired like with us and what's the name of the book? Ravenloft.
Oh, yeah.
Ravenloft coming out or Strixhaven coming out. Just generally being like, oh, that sounds fun. We should do that. We're going to have to start looking up some really good Pathfinder references, P.S. Depending on how this whole current thing goes. But
yep.
Yeah, I like that. But that's like the first, right? That's like the first prompt that anyone gets. And then the players all scatter off and they all have their own idea of what that means, right? Especially after that first one. Oh, man. I've said it before. Try to have like a more expanded idea before you just let something go. We'll see how Viking game goes. I feel like I've been a little bit too loose-lipped on that one, and everyone's kind of has their own idea of Viking game.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, because like a lot of us already have characters basically built mechanically, and I don't know about monster, but like I at least have like some thought process into what my character's like a little bit in that, which
yeah,
it probably would have helped if you'd given a bit more of a prompt, but I mean, it happens. I do want to say is that you definitely don't want to just be like, okay, I'm going to run this setting, or I'm going to run a game that's basically this movie or genre or whatever, and then leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically be like, okay, well, 2 weeks before we do session one, I'm going to talk to people about it and then have session zero. That should be fine, right? It's like, no, don't do that. Because they're already going to have their stuff, you know, built and set in their minds on what they want to do. And sometimes yep. It doesn't jive well with, you know, everything that's going on. You did mention,
what?
Huh?
What is that? What do you mean, Steve? How could this, this could not possibly have happened to one of us?
Were you referring to my campaign or one of your campaigns?
I think there's room for both.
Okay, yeah. As I was going to say, I know this happened in my Crimson Knight game for sure.
Yes.
Just that, like, because I kind of pitched it as, you know, like, magical girls in space. But I guess, which is actually, that's actually another point that I want to bring up, too, is that
mm-hmm.
When you say, like, I'm doing a sci-fi, if I say, like, for example, I'm going to do a sci-fi game that's running Besom, which is an anime-themed rule system, and I'm going to be doing yep. a magical girl setting in space, but I'm not going to make you have to be a girl or have to be, you know, young. But I don't
already
want...
made a mistake.
Huh?
Sorry. I would argue, even with that short, I think, and mind you, this is we played in the game, so I kind of like have a little bit more knowledge. But I'd argue you've already made a mistake.
Oh, you know, like, you know, absolutely. No, that's what I was going to say. Is that I absolutely yeah. did. And like one of the things you can look at it is like just from what I said, the theme was mm-hmm. too ambiguous. Magical yes. girl in space / sci-fi. It's like, okay, is it more like the anime trope magical girl? Or is it just like, okay, we're characters that have like magical powers. And we happen to be in a sci-fi setting, but it's mostly sci-fi, which it's more the later. It is the prior. And
yeah,
some characters are more the earlier than the later, and some characters are more the later than the earlier. So
very, very true.
Yeah.
We also ended up with technically we ended up with two dudes, which, you know, is fine, though I would argue. Sorry, monster. I'm actually not sorry.
No,
he should know. I feel like I've said this.
Well, I mean, he never agreed to anything. You guys just kind of decided that as a group, and then
no,
he didn't.
It
he
been,
did his own thing.
Okay, Okay. It would have been better though. Cause he's, and you can listen 2 episodes ago, he's not very magical girl. He's Destiny Space Hunter. So not like outside of theme, just very much like he's got like a toe in the magical girl setting and the rest is like, no.
True.
No. He's more Trigun, or Outlaw Star, more Seinen.
I think
more Cowboy Bebop.
I was gonna say it's like he's definitely more sci-fi, and I feel like those are too anime for what he is. To be fair, he gave me definitely a sci-fi character.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his most magical thing, I think, is that he can like phase through walls.
And even that's more of like. That's like a thing you would see in sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a thing I've done in mine.
I mean, in my it's space thing game. That you can do in Marvel, in true. Comic book stuff. Yeah, superheroes do that. So not indicative of magical girl. Yeah, or anime in general.
So yeah, I've definitely had it. Honestly, most of the things that come to my mind are like there are occasions where I didn't put my foot down hard enough, and I end up with a little friction, like. Allowing Nick to be a grade younger in Kids on Bikes, it's working okay. I just think I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
For my own peace of mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it made some things a little bit more complicated in terms of, like, our classes logistics. And stuff like that, because we're in different classes. And so you also have to have, like, characters in Nick's classes that he can interact with, and then you have to have the characters in our classes that we interact with, and then sometimes they intermingle, sometimes they don't. Like, it just adds like an extra layer of complexity to things that was only there for one player in your situation. So
yeah, and like I said, it's not the worst. Honestly, I think the worst for me have been like people actually kind of actively going against my prompts, but I'll get into that a little bit later.
Oh, have I been guilty of this?
You've been guilty of misunderstanding a prompt or two.
I was gonna say, I know that for sure. I know that in your Lian Noir, I'm kind of different from most other people in that game. So
I don't know
if I missed the prompt on that one. I think I did miss the prompt. Maybe I just, you know,
that game had other problems. I'm gonna.
Well, I mean, where are we starting that one?
Yeah, I have on the schedule that we're going to talk about rebooting games as a whole episode, but I want to do it closer to when I figure that out. So, I don't know, season 8?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be a while.
Based on how these things go. On the plus side, it'll feel like we just talked about this when we do that, which is a real thing. We were not joking around 2 episodes ago.
Oh, that it feels like we just talked about something and it was like 40 episodes ago? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what.
Oh,
I mean.
Yeah, that no, that's legit. That literally happens.
So, but yeah. So, all right. To take a step back, there are several kinds of prompts. After the initial pitch, essentially, which I would argue it is a prompt, but like it's not really a prompt, and you shouldn't leave it there. You can do things like, hey, read this book, story, watch this TV show, watch this video, watch this episode, listen to this podcast. For kind of a, hey, it's like this. Feel.
Look at this photograph.
No.
No, you can't give someone Nickelback. A collage of images no. to, no?
No, no Nickelback here.
Okay. Okay, no, that's it, what you're, okay, I was like, is it the whole, is it the Nickelback thing or is it the picture?
It's the Nickelback thing.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, you can give people a picture, give people a comic. I don't know where I got, I haven't done that, have I, Steve?
I literally have one sitting on my table. Or Viking game.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's 2, but yeah.
It is 2.
Yeah.
But, and you have more coming for a Marvel game, but.
oh, true. Yes.
Yes. So that's good. There's also the kind of, here's a genre thing, which we already talked about. I think regardless, you should have a brief write-up. You should have a write-up and, in my opinion, a map.
Those are
the best things. Map to help spatially orient your players, write up to really help explain what's going on, what do they know, like what is, you know, the write up contains what everyone knows in this area. And then that write up may lead to other write-ups. For instance, with my space game, Sad Star Story, I had the initial write-up, and then I had made a lot of, like, alien species. And then I had everyone, basically I had, like, the name of the species and, like, a sentence or two, three. And then everyone picked theirs out, and then I sent them the longer versions of the aliens. And basically that allowed that player to have whatever race, whatever species they picked, and then they had knowledge of two other species, which was kind of, you know, just, hey, yeah, you've hung around with these kind of thing. So the brief write-up doesn't have to be the end-all be-all. The brief write-up can lead to other write-ups, etc. The thing you want to avoid is a ton of reading.
Yeah.
Because then what happens, Steve?
Players don't read any of it at all.
True.
Not that I'm guilty of that or anything.
We're just going to leave in that long pause.
Okay.
There was a long pause, listener.
Yeah.
The write-ups are good. I also recommend, I think it is a good idea to stage them, like I just said, with my space game. Like, hey, here's the pitch. Hey, here's the prompt. Hey, get back to me. And then I'll do a follow-up prompt and maybe a follow-up piece of media. I think that back and forth is okay. You need to check in with your players. Otherwise, they're gonna do fun things. And by fun things, I mean ruin your game. maybe not totally. Yeah. So yeah, I also think you can absolutely do this. I know it's not my style. I know I never think about it this way, but you can do like we talked about with the Commies Legend of the Five Rings Burning Sands game, where he basically handed us the books and said, pick your thing, read up on your dudes, and we'll go. And as we discussed once again two episodes ago, there wasn't enough information sometimes.
Yeah. So, even while reading some of the content, there was stuff that was just like, I don't really understand where this was, or you know, like what section of the book. The story was kind of like all over the place, and as we had mentioned, it's not particularly interesting.
Yeah.
So that made it like very difficult to like remember things, or to like, it also had like a lot of like unique terminology that's like specific to that like campaign. That,
yeah,
you may not know, like, what, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but like there's a lot of like
I couldn't tell you what the Yodotai, who are the Romans, are in that game. I couldn't tell you a lot of their like specific stuff. Like, I didn't have an emperor name. I didn't really know.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't names of like legions or something, and that stuff my character should know, but if it's there, I kind of have to make it up. Or I have to have the commie let me know about what he's decided. So,
yeah, I mean, I can think of like an L5R example, which is like when you hear things about like Genpuku, which is essentially like your coming of age ceremony and becoming an adult and you going through training and becoming a samurai, which I know that now. I didn't know that before I started L5R. So there's, yeah, like a lot of like terms like that they use in the game that kind of have to be defined. Which can make things complex.
Yeah.
I did want to point out that not only is it better for like the overall like group cohesion to like give a prompt and have like a map and all that stuff, is that at least for like a person like me, who until I actually like have to sit down and run a session, I'm constantly coming up with different ideas and changing things. It gives me a place to like solidify ideas. So, like, if I have, let's say, five players and they need the prompt and the map and all that stuff to give to them so they can get started, then once I give that to them, that's basically solidified. Like, I'm not going to change any of that. Then I have to go back and go like, okay, guys, I made some modifications. I did this, did that. Now they're having to go and change things as well to adapt to my changes. So that kind of like just like says like, okay, this stuff that I'm giving you is for sure, and I don't have to worry about that. I just build off that and then go from there. The other stuff I can change, so the stuff that hasn't happened yet or that I'm thinking about doing in the story, I can change still. But I guess it kind of just gives you like a peace of mind, I guess, which is a nice thing. So just another reason to do it.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, stuff still changes during the game.
Yeah.
You'll encounter some like weird issues, or Like, even with as solidified a rule set as Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition is right now, or Pathfinder 1st edition is right now, there's still some confusing wording. There's still, like, it's not perfect. It's maybe
true.
So, yeah. Yeah, 100% agree with that. So then you get stuff back from your players, right? And this could be as, like, you know, part of a, like, a back and forth email, or as part of a, you know, messaging on Discord or something like that. Or it could be, you know, you get everyone together, maybe have like a little mini marathon, and then like a brief session zero or a full day session zero or something like that. But you get stuff back. And sometimes there are problems. Sometimes they've taken something too literally, which I know has definitely happened
with
my games. Where they're like, oh, this thing, and I'm like, I didn't mean it that way. That was more figurative. In which case, you know, that's usually a tweak, hopefully, where you're just like, yeah, tone that down, or maybe focus a little bit more on this, or, well, I meant this kind of a thing. And I think, and I've said it before, don't be afraid to turn down a player's idea and ask them to come up with something else. I think that's fine. I think you should make sure to tell them that that's not, like, bad. This isn't a punishment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, they should realistically, like, be able to understand why in certain cases, especially if, like, you sit down and explain. Because if it's down to, like, how you defined the setting and the setup and that type of stuff, and, you know, given your prompts and things like that, then if you're able to, like, say, like, actually, I was going for, you know, this style or this tone, then they should be able to go, oh, I see. Yeah, this would be really weird playing this character. Like, I didn't know you were going for a very gritty, like, film noir. I thought we were going with, like, comedy, haha, noir. And so I made a jokey character that's totally not going to fit in the setting and not.
I mean, and you have no idea how good of an example that is, actually. With the film Knives Out. The director, Rian Johnson, he was like, the only thing people really have as reference for mysteries is Clue a lot of the time. Like, that's a lot of people's reference. And that's a parody.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll have to fight a little bit of parody, or like the genre mix just won't be quite right. They'll be, you know, pouring a little too much of like something else in there, and you're like, I don't really want that that flavor in my drink there, friend. Can we back up on the gin, you know?
I was gonna say, to go back to Kevin and Steve's cooking show, that's essentially like just saying like, hey, we're gonna have a hot pot, bring whatever you want, and then you leave it at that, and
and then I bring marshmallows.
Why would you? Okay, in the first place, why would you even bring marshmallows to put into a hot pot? In what hot pot would you realistically put marshmallows? But
the same one as you put the chocolate and the graham crackers in.
Okay, so here's a good example of why this would be bad. Because do you know that hot pot is like boiling broth, and you put like meat and fish? Okay.
Yes, I know.
I wasn't sure if you thought maybe it was just like, oh yeah, there's a flame and we cook whatever we want, and I was like, s'mores.
No, it's not s'mores. I know, but like, that's not an unreasonable extrapolation if you don't know what a hot pot is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true.
So there you go. You can also come up with something where something is too much of a direct copy of something else, either from the source you gave them or from something else that they like, right, Steve?
I totally have not done that. It was my first character. Give me a break.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about someone else in one of your games, because you've totally gotten it.
Oh,
very,
yeah,
very
I guess that's true.
To another character.
Yeah, I did have a character that wanted to just be, I don't know French. So is it chat or chat? I don't know.
It's I think chat noir.
Chat noir.
French
okay,
listeners.
Yeah.
roimperfection@gmail.com.
Yeah. So I had a player that just like, oh, I want to be this character. And I was just like, sure. I didn't think they meant I want to be that character. I thought they just meant like this style character. And I was just like, yeah, sure. And then they had built the character and everything, and they went with like, I guess, like similar like abilities and stuff like that, and also just like straight up same appearance. And I was like, I'm here. This is session one. I guess it is what it is at that point, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit late. I don't think I did a session zero for that. I should have.
No, you didn't. We just all sat down.
I just went straight into session one. Yeah, I should have done a session zero. Another reason to do session zero. Go and listen to our session zero episode.
True. I think that one still holds up.
To not sound like a broken record, I'm not going to say, though I do think, I don't think it was that long ago, but it probably was a long time ago.
Ooh, hang on. It's been invoked. Now I have to see.
Oh, no.
Ooh, man. Okay, I'm going. It was, that would be episode 43?
Oh, okay.
Look, it was only like a little under 100 episodes ago. Okay, that's fine.
Damn, okay. Well, I don't know. I got nothing.
So yeah, it's okay. There's of course, you know, also the, to kind of go as an extension of that, what if they just ignore it, which happens definitely. And you go and you look at them and you're like, what is this? And they're like, it's my character. And you're like,
not in this game. It ain't.
Yeah. There are no guns in this setting. And they're like, qua? And I'm like, that thing doesn't work like that in this time period, you know?
What do you mean? Like building like a sword and shield knight in like modern time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can have your Black Knight character. You can have your Hawkeye. They're just gonna have to be, you know, adjusted a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. It happens and you end up with weird stuff. You end up with real weird stuff. You end up with two kingdoms at war and a bunch of ancillary characters. And you're like, where are these? Where is this place supposed to be? Looking at your map going, well, I guess it's these two tiny islands over here. Real example, have done. So yeah. And that's once again, a case where, you know, session zero works great. A lot of communication works great. Generally, if you want to have a long running campaign, there's going to be some back and forth, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the analogy is, you know, perfect, but, and I can't even remember what the actual like proverb is, but it's something along the lines of like, and I think I've quoted it before too. It's like, if the tree starts off crooked, then it will, grow bent, something like that. I don't know if you happen to know what that quote is. You couldn't even get the earlier one, right? So you wouldn't. The pickup line. So why would I expect you to know that one?
I am not in quote mode today.
Okay, yeah.
Try again later.
Okay, now he's a magic eight ball. Got it. So
the future is unclear.
Maybe. But essentially, like, if you don't have a good starting point, then like it's just gonna make things worse down the line. Whereas like if you have like a long campaign, those just in general, if you have a really good starting point and everything's like everyone's very clear on what the setting is, the lore, and like everything like that, and they're completely rooted into the campaign and setting, then even on that long campaign, there's chances that just like things will just like break down. That's just how games can be sometimes. And if you don't start off on a good foot for it, then it just makes it more likely to happen, I feel.
Yeah. And I think that's where, even if you have a fairly good set of characters, you do maybe want to have that session zero, just to review, that the player characters kind of have at least a similar tone, style, or barring some of that, at least, you know, like, if it doesn't quite match, maybe they're from another part of the setting, and you can align it, right? So that they come together in more of a sensible thing, because you can fit disparate pieces together. It's not unheard of. I've definitely worked with some weird crews, and the player who I was talking about, where kind of ignored the prompt. It's generally M. He he plays in my games. He's very much
Oh,
that's that, though. I want to do this, and it's betrayal. And I'm like, I made a space utopia. Where's the betrayal?
He's going to summon the aliens from the far, 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 far regions.
I mean, that is possible, but yeah. He ended up he ended up being, like, frozen. He ended up doing the Futurama thing of gets frozen, wakes up. So he's a jerk, and everyone else is like, what the heck's wrong with that guy?
Yeah, I don't know why he picked that route. Because, like, there was no way that that route was going to work for betrayal. So...
yeah,
I mean, maybe he could have betrayed the party, like us as a group, but he would have won the battle and lost the war, as in all of society would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Go to jail forever.
It's definitely a weird thing, especially for like the betrayal line. Like, his character works, but he needs to like change more. Like, I don't know. You can have a character start off in like a weird place tonally or stylistically or whatever. But that character has to realize, like, they have to reckon with reality and change. We just talked about Sabina. I literally made Sabina a character where she's in a new place, she recognizes that, and she's trying to figure out what's up. Because nothing from her past is going to work. And I'll tell you right now, M's character, Drevin, he just didn't do that. And there's been way more episodes of that game. So, yeah. You just got to be ready. And as a GM, you got to be ready to tough love your player. As a player, you got to be ready. I'd say at the risk of being sad and never getting to use your backup, have a backup. I've done that.
Have a backup in terms of...
character.
Oh, you're talking about from the player. Oh, okay. I thought you meant as a GM, have a backup.
No.
Have a backup player?
Maybe. No, have a backup. Have a backup character.
Okay.
And I think, yeah. So players, like, unless they're giving you like a whole bunch of reading or something, like, try to at least do some of it, or talk to them about it, or see if there's like YouTube videos about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's what I did for my Ravnica games. I tried to find. I don't think I had one for every guild, but I tried to find at least like a like descriptional video of each of the guilds to send to people. So if people were like, oh, I want to know more about this guild, they'll like, here you go. And same thing with like Crimson Knight. I don't know. It's easier to find like YouTube videos, because you can find someone who's like super passionate about a genre, topic, theme, or even just like, let's say you're going to do Warhammer. You could probably find, and neither of us like Warhammer, but there's people in our group of friends who do like Warhammer, and I'm sure if they were like, okay, Kevin and Steve, you guys know nothing about Warhammer, we need to show you something, you could find someone on YouTube who has gone through literally all the lore with a fine comb and has put together like the perfect like intro video to understanding the world of Warhammer. That's just like one of the benefits of, you know, like a medium like that. So, you know,
it's true.
Take those and run with it. You know, it can be a movie. If a movie really suits the tone that you're going for, or the style, or the setting, then recommend that movie, or set of movies. If you want everyone's view to be a little bit different, which is what Kevin's done in, you know, Silent Spiral. Or, you know, if you just like, I want to do Lord of the Rings, it's like, make sure your players have watched Lord of the Rings or read the books.
Yeah. Oh man, those are some dedicated players. I'm gonna be real. If I assigned the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I would not expect any of my players to read it.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I would never read it, but
I know.
Yeah. I don't know if I would necessarily say that, like, if I was gonna do like Lord of the Rings, for example, that I would assign the books. I don't know if I'd ever assign a book to someone. I know that you might read it. But I know that, like, pretty much no one else in our group would read a book if it was assigned to them. The whole book.
Yeah.
Maybe a chapter.
I think audio might be a good option for that. But yeah, I don't think audiobook. You could assign, like, a whole thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, even for, like popular novel series, if you wanted to use that, a lot of those novel series often have, like, spin-off stories that are just done with voice acting, I'm pretty sure, right? Like, I'm sure you can find like Lord of the Rings, like side stories that are pretty short that are just like audio dramas, right? Maybe I'm wrong. Cause I know they do that a lot in like Japan for pretty much everything.
That's a very Japan thing.
Okay.
With Lord of the Rings specifically, I mean, there are like the little tales, but like they don't really give the same sense of the world as the novels. So
okay.
It's really going to depend on what you're looking at.
Okay, so I thought you said there's also like audio dramas for
there's audio dramas for Doctor Who.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes, so
there's great audio dramas for Doctor Who. Yeah, that's not the same as everything though. There definitely are stuff like there's Marvel audio dramas. Like
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know that. Although with Marvel, I'm more likely to just hand someone like 3 comics and be like,
yeah, that's
here,
true.
This
yeah,
will take you like. Maybe an hour.
Even if you just look at the pretty pictures, it's close enough.
Yeah. Here are some key things to know. Because I can just explain a character for the most part. Admittedly, I have been doing some Carnage reading. So
you're some welcome characters. Or my condolences?
I mean, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I read his first appearance, and I think aside from the terrific Mark Bagley art, I think that story is very boring. It's very plain. Symbiote is given to a serial killer. Serial killer does horrible murders. Spider-Man has to go team up with Venom to beat new symbiote, Carnage. They try to beat him. They eventually beat him with Sound. Again, very typical symbiote defeat. Spoilers. A lot of symbiote stories. Venom betrays Spider-Man after Carnage is defeated. Spider-Man is helped out, saved by the Fantastic Four. It's not great. That's 3 issues.
You got Fantastic Four in there.
Yeah. Not like good Fantastic Four though.
Oh, okay.
There's not even any really good Spider-Man Human Torch banter. Anyway, sorry. Listen, we're done. We're done, listener.
Oh, okay. Should I catchphrase to sign out?
yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
then we just have a long conversation about like Spider-Man and the Human Torch's relationship and how it works.
Well, to save you from that, remember to play what you love. Until next time, may your characters do something epic.
Especially if you've got a really nice cohesive game that started off well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we all want, right? Just to start off on the right foot and get that game going. That's like the hardest part is starting. So
starting a game and then keeping it going. Yes, those are the hardest parts.
Yeah, that's like I was gonna say that's
it's
a close
not
second.
A bad idea
is my
episode. Keeping is a my game dream. Going.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.